From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Well, there's one thing you can be sure of, and that is, if it is Thursday evening at 7 p.m. here in Hobart, we, The Dice Men Cometh, are here in the Edge Radio studio and coming out to you live over your interweb airwaves. And this week we have got so much to talk about, we have barely got time
to give
you an introduction. But I'll tell you what, we will be talking about those games of this year and a few maybe of last year that we have played in our top tens, but we won't be talking about Brass Birmingham, Root, Welcome to Lords of Hellas, Detective a Modern Crime Board Game, Western Legends, The Grim Forest, Feudum, Nemesis, Cryptid, Underwater Cities, Villainous, Railroad Inc., Blackout, Hong Kong, Just One, or maybe a whole bunch more games. Because those are all games that people have said very amazing things about, and we haven't played them yet.
Nah, too many games, not enough time. That's the problem.
Although most of them are sitting on my to-be-played shelf right now. We just haven't had a chance to do it. And it is episode 245, by the way, on this, the 3rd of January, 2000 and bloody well 19.
Yeah, Happy New Year, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and people who choose not to
celebrate.
Identify with any particular gender?
Well, there's that too. Yeah, where the Dice Men Cometh. This is a show all about card games, board games, not video games, but maybe next week video games might get a mention.
Oh, yeah. Indeed, they may do.
So we're three guys who live here in this lovely city of Hobart, broadcasting around the state, the country, and the world.
So you're Garth, right?
I am Garth.
And you're Mark, right?
Yep.
And I'm still Leon.
Yep, correct.
And we're going to throw to a song because we have things to talk about.
Hello, everybody. This is Steve O'Rourke from New York. Congratulations on your good taste in gaming and podcasts. You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh.
Well, this is the very gentle ending to Green Day's Minority with The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. This show, gentlemen and gentle ladies and gentle non-binary people, is the first episode for 2019, but it's all about looking back.
Yes.
Now, we need to throw in the Dice Man disclaimer before we go any further, which is this is not just about 2018 games. No, because we are squeaking in a little bit of 2017, but only if the game was first played in 2018.
Yes, absolutely. We are all absolutely clear on all the games in our top 10 are all new to us in the year of 2018.
And if anyone listened to our last top 10, which had games from like 10 years ago,
2012 or 13?
No, there was an 8 one in there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, 2008, I think, was Tanto Quarry.
So I can tell you right now that my top 10 is all 2018, 2017 games.
Correct.
Yes.
As is mine, Mark.
As is 9 of mine.
Close
with
enough.
The 10th being 2016, but still brand new to me this year.
So and you're also going to remember, to everyone out there, we are Australia. So we are at the bottom of the world, and we get stuff much, much later than everybody
else. But we're
also
the bottom of Australia.
Yes.
So even that stuff that gets to mainland Australia doesn't get on the boat to come down to little old Tasmania until much, much, much later. Now, for me personally, I'm also going to throw in the caveat that I'm talking about games that were the most fun and the most enjoyable for me, and not necessarily the game that I think was the most mechanically brilliant or the best design from a gaming point of view.
Yes, no.
It was about me, one Garth, Dice Man Garth, having Garth fun with Garth.
Yes. The games we enjoyed the most. Not necessarily the best, but the games we liked the most.
And look, my list has taken a decided turn towards the two-player game this year.
Oh, what shock and or horror.
Having a partner who has got into and sort of dove deeply into this hobby, obviously I've been playing a lot of two-player games.
Yes. So I did actually contemplate before going on air that we all should put a little word or a little name of a game on a bit of paper and just pick each other's number one for that particular reason. But also because I think I got a shot at yours, Leon, as well. Before we go forward and get this party started, should we take a quick step back and look at where we were a year ago?
I think that would be very interesting, actually.
All right. I've got the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to run through these from 10 down to 1 in the order in which they were announced on air. So it'll go Leon, Mark, and Garth.
Yep.
Leon, your number 10 game, Tyrants of the Underdark for 2016-17. Mark Patch History, which I'm pretty sure was released in about 2013. Captain Sonar for me. Then Leon, a little game called Gloomhaven, number 9. Mark, another recent game, Tonto Quarry.
Yes.
I had Magic Maze, which is still so much fun and has the best piece in all of gaming, the passive-aggressive do-something pawn. Leon, you then brought out a little game called Seventh Continent. For your number 7, Mark, Mechs versus Minions. Mm. A little bit of a programming game there. I had Role Player. Leon, what do you think of Role Player?
I don't know. I'd like to play it at some point, possibly, if you bring all the dice to the pub once.
All right. And we then went down to our number 10, 9, 8, 7th games. Leon, 51st State Master Set. Mark, Clank. Garth, Flom Rouge, which I think was an amazing choice. Leon, then down, next one was Clank. Mark, you had, 5 Great Western Trail, as did I. And then Leon for the number 5 game, Carnage!
Yep.
Mark, another modern game that was definitely released in 16 or 17, Legends of Andor.
I was playing catch-up last year. You sure were. I have caught up mostly.
I went to something a little bit more current, which was Killing Hitler in Black Orchestra. Top 4, Leon, Inish. Fantastic choice. Mark, your choice for number 4 was Black Orchestra, and then my number 4 was also Inish.
Great choice, Garth. It was a well wonderful done choice. There. Must be higher up on Mark's list.
Jeez, we are so in sync.
Maybe it'll feature this year.
Number 3 for Leon Santorini, number 3 for Mark, Seventh Continent, number 3 for Garth, Seventh Continent, and this is where things took a little bit of a different turn. Leon's number 2 game, Rhino Hero Super Battle.
Which was almost on my top 10 this year, because I forgot, because I got that game on like New Year's Day.
Well, yes, yeah. I listened to the episode today just to make sure there was no doubling up, and you said, this is the game I played yesterday.
Yeah. Yep.
Mark, this is where our number 2s and number 1s were the not quite polar opposite, but at least a little bit different. You had This War of Mine. I had Gloomhaven. And then I had This War of Mine for my number 1. You had Gloomhaven for your number 1. Leon, throwing it all out and putting it out there, the Exit series for your number 1 game of the year. So that threw us all a little bit by surprise, but
I'm so with you now, and they don't feature on my list because they were on your list last year. But I, as people would have seen on our Facebook feed, I spent New Year's Eve playing an Exit game.
I would absolutely argue that someone could have the Exit series, like season 2, in their top 10 this year. Because like 3 or 4 came out last year that are supposed to be the best of them. And I've got them sitting at home.
New 3 coming out this year.
Or maybe season 2 is the getting into.
Yeah.
So you're not getting away. You're trying to get into it. Possibly. So anyway, look,
entry game.
We have discussed
something
this
completely different.
We've discussed this off air, and the fear is that we've got really different top tens.
Yes,
but we don't know because this is a completely 100% secret ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So should we start, gentle people?
Why not? I think we should start, Marky boy. Why don't you kick us off?
All right. Well, Leon, I have you to thank for my number 10.
As well you should.
I raved about it as a special guest on the Spiel Christmas Party episode. If you don't know the Spiel, check out the Spiel podcast. They have been around for many, many years. I think they're into their 13th or 14th year. I was a guest on their Christmas Party extravaganza. And when they asked me, what is your go-to party game with a large number of people? I said, Where Words from 2017 by Ted Alspach and Bezier Games. It's such a great game. It plays with so many different numbers of people. It's so good to play. You've got the great app. Look, my only disappointment is the deluxe version didn't add better rolls. I think I was a little bit disappointed by the rolls in the deluxe version.
That's a fair point.
But I think it's overtaken Time's Up just because you can play it so quickly.
Wow.
As my favourite big party game. And that Time's Up has been there for about 5 or 6 years.
I think Time's Up is probably, if you've got 12 people and you know you've got a couple of hours, and you've, especially if like the booze is flowing, Time's Up is the way to go. But you've with Where Words, you've got 4 to 10 people, and you can teach this game in 2 minutes flat.
There
why not? But it's a good pick, Mark. Well done.
Wonderful. Leon, you want to go next?
Okay, I will. And I've got a game at number 10 called Raja of the Ganges.
Ooh.
So, which is a game which is Euro in type inspired, and it's arguably kind of a race game, really, because the whole point of this game is that you've got two different tracks, and the person that wins is the person that gets them to meet. So, what are the two tracks? One is the money you make, and
basically fame and fortune,
the influence you have in the region. And there's lots of different actions you can do, and there's dice involved, and you get to roll them as well as just place them and whatnot. And I love these dice placey type games. They're the best way, I think, to get people that aren't Euro kind of centered into those kind of mechanics, to let them chuck some dice, because everyone loves chucking dice, and the dice in this are very colourful and they go on your cool little stands. And yeah, I really enjoy the game. I bought it and I'm happy to have it in my collection.
Well, I
haven't sold it yet.
No, I was going to say, I have got it on my honourable mentions, as in these are honourable mentions. I would class these as they're all real gems, but because I've only played them once, they didn't have quite enough momentum to creep into the top 10, but if I had played them more, I wouldn't be surprised if they had crept in.
Mm-hmm. There we go. All right, well, I better round out this particular 10 number.
Yes.
And I have to thank Mark for this one.
Ooh.
So I'm going to say thank you, Mark, for lending me Chronicles of Crime.
Oh.
Now, Chronicles of Crime was one of the first games where myself and my two children sat down and had a cracking hour of fun.
Awesome.
Should I talk about it, or maybe should I not at the moment?
It's further up my list.
So let's leave it to someone else on someone else's list to give it a little bit more of a wordsmithing.
Mm-hmm.
But needless to say, Chronicles of Crime, very much like a new version of Sherlock Holmes,
so
rounds out my number 10 mark.
Number nine.
And we're not allowed to do the 999 thing because we did that last year.
Okay. Number nine for me is Azul by Michael Kiesling and Next Move Games. It is a game from 2017 but was new to me in 2018. I've really been getting into the story-driven, narrative-driven games, and I think that's probably what has pushed it down my list to number nine, because it is
the story of being a Tyler.
It is a great game with a huge amount of replay value. I'm not a big abstract game person. I do love your story-driven game. The fact that it is in there at number nine says a lot about how good it actually is.
It was my number 11.
Ooh,
that's so close. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my either of those things.
Okay, grand. Cool. My number nine is Stuffed Fables. Is it a bit higher on other two lists in the room?
Yes.
Maybe. So I'll be very quick into simply the fact that between the three of us, we've bought, four or five copies of this game to give to various families over the holidays. I gave it to both sides of my family, my wife's and my own, as a Christmas present, and there's a good reason for that. So we'll talk about that more later, but yes, Stuffed Fables number nine.
All right, my number nine is Clans of Caledonia, which is all about those, is it Scottish Highlands and all of those cheese and farming and putting so many different types of meeple-shaped cheese and other way around, cheese-shaped meeples. No.
Stop talking.
Oh, my God, there's a lot of stuff going on in this game. And when you set up your player board for the very first time, you go, what have I got myself into?
Mm-hmm.
It was another of my honourable mentions where if I had managed to play it more than once, I'm sure it would have featured.
See, I was pretty confident that it would be only on my list and not on anyone else's. I had such a good time playing this game. I think for once you've learnt it, an hour and a half, 2 hours, it just ticks so many Euro boxes. It's so good. Yeah. And you can play it around. The only thing that annoyed me a little bit about it is the end game scoring, but that's because I came last.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
And I don't mind that.
It is one of those ones, I think, repeat plays, you would be expecting the end game scoring, because it does sort of catch you out a little bit. But, yeah, look, I had so much fun with this game.
Yes.
And why haven't you bought a copy, Garth?
That's a good question.
Why haven't you bought Flam Rouge?
You've
been talking about that for two bloody years. You still haven't got a copy of it.
It's my number one for this year.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, number eight.
Well, number eight, Leon just mentioned Stuffed Fables.
Ooh, did he?
Now, I've got a list of honourable mentions where I've played them once, and they're honourable mentions. I played Stuffed Fables a total of once, and it's my number eight game.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've only played it once. I mean, we did play two or three missions in that one outing, but yeah, I was the same.
But, you know, the fact that it's so high with just one play and the fact that I then went and bought it for my niece and nephew, if I had played more, I reckon it would have been way up on my list because I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm just going to say it is on my list somewhere.
Yes.
It's not at number eight.
Yeah, no worries.
Okie doke.
Leon.
Me. So a game that I only today realised that it's this edition is in the last 2 years, but it is a game that was, I think, probably like 2015, 2014. But no one really cared about that edition. And what I'm talking about is When I Dream.
Yeah, okay.
So a party game that I've talked about a few times. Yeah. I don't know if we've done a full episode on it or
not.
Yeah,
we did.
We did. And well worth it because it's a really fun game. And kind of for people that have liked things like Dixit in the past, things like Mysterium. Somebody has to put a blindfold on and people are saying stuff and you've got to try and guess the words. But there are betrayers and there are people on their side and not. And there's the mechanics of it are really cool as well as the actual components.
It has a bed.
There's a bed in it, for God's sake.
Bed.
On top of the cool eye mask that everybody wears. It's something that I think a lot of people would enjoy. And party games, in this day and age, they're a dime a dozen. There's a lot of them. But this one is one that I think everyone should have a crack at.
Yeah, it's a pretty crowded genre. You're right. And When I Dream is really good fun because it works well with introverts and extroverts, I find.
Mm-hmm.
The introvert always goes, oh, I don't want to have to put that little eye mask on and have everyone pay attention. But that's one round out of six or eight or whatever, depending on the number of players. And it looks beautiful.
The art's amazing. So there's like 20 different artists. And you've got the creativity at the end of once you've had that blindfold on. You've got to try and make up a dream based on all the words you've said. And that's always a good laugh as well. So it ticks a lot of boxes.
I agree. Good choice.
Thank you.
So for me, number eight is The Estates. Now, this is a game that I'm pretty sure the two of you haven't played yet.
I don't even know if I've heard of this.
It is pretty much just all about the negotiation. You are each playing rival building developers, and you're trying to build buildings high because there's a whole bunch of cubes, and the cubes are valued at different amounts. But the only cube that scores is the one on the top of the building when a roof is placed on there. And, of course, you can bid on the roofs as well, so that if you win a roof, you can put it on your building or stop someone else from getting it. The other variable is how far down the track you're able to build buildings, because only completed rows actually will score. There's really good money. There's really good negotiation. There is so much fun in a relatively short amount of game, and it's mean.
Now, Garth, you played this at LFG's Essen Unplugged in Canberra, didn't you?
I did.
Only recently and only once. So the fact that it's crept in this high, that's saying a lot.
I had so much fun with this game. It looks fantastic. It has great table presence because the cubes are about the size of, I guess, quantum cubes.
Yes.
They're really big, really chunky, but made out of wood. The board looks great. It's explained in about 5 minutes, and then you get to be really mean to each other, and that's good. When I was at a table of 5 people who I'd never met before, so I got to be a complete meanie mean pants to them and came third.
Yeah, let's call it a meanie mean pants.
All right, Mark.
Number seven.
Eight, ten, eight, nine. Yes.
So number seven, and I think this may be a little bit further up some people's lists, for me was Thunderstone Quest.
Ooh, good choice.
By Mike Elliott and AEG from 2018. Does it feature?
It does.
It's on my honourable list. If I'd owned it, I'd probably be higher because I probably would have played it more.
Well, I'll keep stum about it for now until we get further up.
Sounds pretty good.
Number seven.
Yeah.
I have got a game that I don't own yet, and that is Everdell.
Ooh.
So a lovely, lovely game that did the beautiful thing nowadays that Kickstarter like to do. That, okay, we brought out our game, it's in everybody's hands, let's put it on Kickstarter with an expansion again in like a couple of weeks. And they did that, and after I'd played it a few times, I was like, well, I'm going to buy that now, aren't I? Very clever. So, yeah, it's a worker placement game, as well as it's very heavy on the hand and card management, and it mixes those two quite nice, as well as the aesthetics of it with the big tree and the lovely artwork and whatever else. So it doesn't do anything probably brand spanking new, but it's a solid game from what I found.
Yeah, well, it is the third of my honourable mentions, as in if I had played it more than once, I would expect it probably would have creeped a little bit further up. I did really enjoy that one play.
Yeah, it's on my honourable list as well. It is definitely in the top three for the most beautiful-looking game of the year for
me.
The tree, it is absolutely beautiful. It's bloody annoying because it always gets in your way. You need a perfectly designed Everdell table for it not to be in the way, I've found. Dan May and obviously, you know, the rest of his team have done a wonderful job with that game from start to finish. The meeples look fantastic. The cards are good. Look, It's a beautiful looking game. It's a fun game as well. But anyway, we should probably put a little break into this before we then go into our, what are we at? Our six
we'll and come back down. And talk about six.
Where the Dice Man Cometh at Z Radio 99.3 FM.
Stay tuned for six.
Oh, I love this song. Excuse me, everyone. Just wanted to pop in and say hello. It's Mark here. And welcome all the new listeners. What I'd love for you all to do, if you haven't done it before, is jump onto iTunes and leave us a review. 5 stars would be awesome, but whatever you think we're worth, it makes a big difference to helping us get the podcast out to all the people there who don't know about it already. Of course, we'd love you to support us on Patreon as well, and to share the love on all your social media feeds. But if you could do the iTunes review for us, that would be absolutely amazing. Anyway, back to the track.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM, you are with the Dice Man Cometh. And that was the Kings of Me with Four Kicks. So we just realised as soon as we pressed the button to go to that song that Garth, we forgot about you because... Well, I only you're very, very forgettable, I'm afraid.
Absolutely.
We forgot to do your number seven, so let's probably do that now, eh?
Yeah, why not? So my number seven is another game I know you guys haven't played because I only talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and that's Wildlands. Wildlands was, for me, such a fun little skirmish game that just plays in that 45 minutes. You reset, you do it all again. It's wild, it's crazy, it's got enough luck to it. I think you, Leon, particularly would have a great time with this game.
I've hovered over the buy it button on a few websites a couple of times, but I haven't quite pulled the trigger yet, but I have a feeling I'm going to at some point.
So Martin Wallace doing fantasy skirmish game going, what are you doing, Martin?
Yeah.
But it works, it's good fun, there's a lot of expansions in the works. So that was my number seven game of the year. And again, I've only played it once, but I talked to Martin quite a lot about it, played with a good group of people. I'm happy to go and play that again right now. And that's what I want in my top ten.
Lovely. Now Garth.
Yes.
You missed out before, so let's make sure you don't miss out with your number six.
Oh, I get to go first for number six. Well, there you go. So my number six, Mark, is a little massive deck builder called Thunderstone Quest.
Indeed.
Thunderstone Quest, which is the newest iteration of Thunderstone, which has been out since 15 diggity doodah, was so successfully kickstarted and then kickstarted again when it came out maybe a few months ago, 6 months ago, the second
with
edition.
With another expansion, yep.
So, look, it is a fantasy deck building, so many campaign-filled game. It takes up all the space. It's got beautiful components. And with the second version of Thunderstone Quest, you can play fully cooperatively. You can also play solo, Mark, if you would choose to do that. I love the deck building side of this game. I find it so much fun. I had a couple of deck builders on the list and I just went down to which one would I want to play out of all of them, and that was the one.
Amazingly, this is the highest of three deck builders that I have on my list.
There you go, eh?
But look, I was a fan of the very first original Thunderstone that came out in the same year as Dominion, believe it or not. It came out not long after and really introduced the world to the deck builder.
Mm-hmm.
They have added a lot more. I love what they've added. Part of me feels like they've added maybe a bit too much.
You're not talking about my minis, are you?
No, not at all.
Good.
I think that's just because we look at it and go, oh, that's great. I'd love to be able to play it 20 times.
Yeah,
the nature of the way we play games, we just can't do that, which is a shame, but it's not the game's fault. It's kind of in our... No.
And I have, I mean, in fact, it was my number seven. I have had an absolute blast with it. It's just built on the legacy. That's not a legacy game. It's built on the legacy of the original Thunderstone and the second iteration, which sort of faded away a bit. It's brought it back to the mainstream.
But it's not legacy, but there is persistent worlds in there, because every time you get more treasures, they become part of the deck.
Yeah, so and the campaign ability, they've added so many options, so many creatures, so many playable characters. There's just so much going on. You can't go wrong with this if you like deck builders.
Yeah, I agree. Sure.
It's a game I absolutely would have owned if, Garth, you didn't already own, and I didn't have 5 or 6 unplayed Marvel Legendary expansions just sitting there screaming in my face.
You got the Spider-Man one?
No! Stop bringing up that. Okie doke. So my number six is a game that was one of my games of the con at BorderCon.
Yep.
It's a game that I actually played a couple of times, I think, at BorderCon, which is one of the very few. And I've then since bought and teached it.
I teached it good to folk,
and we've played it somewhat. And that is The Cuteness of Bunny Kingdom.
Ooh, yes. I was looking at this earlier today.
Now, this game, as obviously Sushi Go is when it comes to card drafting, it's the simplest way to kind of teach people that mechanic. This is the one step above it, I would say. If somebody is like Sushi Go, if you taught that to your kids, your family, from then I'd say move on to Bunny Kingdom, because it is card drafting at its simplest, where you've just got a board in front of you. No one, once you put down bunnies, they're on the board and they're your bunnies, and you've just got to try and connect up as much as you can. So there's a lot of luck involved, yes, but there's a decent amount of strategy, and it's one of those. It's made by, I think it's yellow. It's either Yellow or Simon. I think it's Yellow.
Yeah,
and it's their art style through and through. That's why I can kind of confuse them with Simon, because they're kind of similar in that type of art style. It's a game that is infinitely expandable. They've already announced a new expansion, which is In the Clouds or something, I think it's called, which adds like sky cities that the bunnies can go to, because as that's the natural progression where bunnies would go to into the sky after they've conquered all the fields and farms.
And did we mention it's designed by Spider-Man Andrew Garfield?
It is designed by Spider-Man Andrew Garfield, which is quite insane. I mean, those film franchises have dried up, so that's good for him.
That he's been able to keep working.
Yes. Disclaimer, it's not the same Andrew Garfield.
Oh, it's Richard Garfield.
Correct.
Oh, that guy that did that magic
him,
that time.
Him, that guy.
Yeah. No. All right, Mark, number six.
So number six is another deck builder for me. I don't think you gents have played this one because...
Oh, is it Tanto Quarry?
I own it, and I don't think Dominion. It's left my house. It came out in 2018, Garth.
Ooh, that's good.
By Tim Fowers and Fowers Games, and that is hardback.
Okay, there we go.
We have very much played it.
Okay, well, there you go.
Because we raved about it because it completely and utterly replaces his other game.
That's exactly is what I was going to say. He took a great game in paperback,
mm-hmm.
made it even better with the ink mechanic, the white... I don't think it's white. It's not called whiteout, but it's like eraser mechanic. Persistency of cards, where you have cards that can stay out longer than one hand, but then your opponents can use those cards to make words. The four genres of cards. I have really enjoyed this. And look, Tim Fowers, he does not put a foot wrong.
No, that's true. And in fact, one of his games now boarding,
yep.
which I agonized over because I played this quite a bit this year. And had a lot of fun with it, the real-time kinda game of running competing airlines mm-hmm. throughout the USA. It's a good game.
Yeah.
It's also anxiety-inducing, but it is not a bad game.
Yeah, it's this year's Magic Maze, I reckon.
Well, I also had a little list of only three games, which were my honourable mentions where I did play them more than once, and therefore they didn't creep into my list, but still worthy of an honourable mention. And his game, The Fugitive, was on there, which obviously it's a two-player game.
Correct.
My partner Sarah and I did enjoy that one a lot. So I don't think he is yet to put a foot wrong, Tim Fowers.
And I do need to mention with hardback, something I mentioned when we talked about it on the episode where we reviewed it, but something I think is very important to mention, that I'm confident to say that I'm not a very good speller.
You don't do words well?
I don't do words very well. And a lot of people in this day and age are like that. And a lot of people get very, like, if you put Scrabble down in front of certain people that aren't very good spellers, it's a horrible experience for them. I can tell you that right now. Hardback is the closest you will get to playing a word game where that is out of the picture. You still might feel it a little bit. That depends on the person. But for somebody that cannot spell very well, I had an absolute blast with this game, and I would recommend it for people to try that aren't that great at spelling but still wouldn't mind playing a word game. I think that's the one to have a crack at.
I agree with you, Leon, although I would say that paperback is the easiest progression from a Scrabble into our style of board games, purely because it is make some words.
I can't even recommend people to look at paperback now that hardback's a thing. I can't even do it.
I think the same, because you not only have the spelling, then you have those other abilities of cards where you're sort of chaining the abilities of the different genre. And to me, that makes it a lot more interesting, because it's not just about the spelling. It's also about those combos.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just saying, for someone who's never played, the kind of games that we play.
Instead of Scrabble,
why don't we try this? Paperback is a much easier sell.
Yeah, but we don't like talking to those folks. We like talking to the real gamers.
Exactly. And just going back, I just noticed now boarding was on my honourable mentions list.
There you go.
Well, there you go.
So that's why I found it hard to not talk about it, because it is on my list.
Right.
Top five, counting down from 10 to 5.
Right. So before we do this, I'm just going to make a quick mention that there are two games that are on my honourable mention list. But the reason they're on that list and not this is that they are games that are very, very old. And I'm mentioning them now because they absolutely would have been in my top 10. And they would have been in my top 5 if I were allowing them to be on my list.
I'm going to know what one is, so I'm not going to say it.
What one is? I think you should know what both of them are. Well, what's the one you think it is?
El Grande.
Is one of them, and the other one is...
Chinatown.
Chinatown.
Yeah!
Both games which I'd never played before, I'd heard about, never had... Especially El Grande, you look at it, it looks as dry can be of a Euro. Both of those two games, mechanically, 10 on 10, are absolute standout. Yeah. Perfect, would easily be in my list. But are not, because they are older games, but they do deserve their due.
Awesome.
But my number 5, which did come out late 2017, is The Godfather.
Ooh, Corleone's Empire.
Corleone's Empire, which for anybody that likes your Sons of Anarchy, your Nothing Personal, which are two games that I also still own, and they're not going anywhere, Godfather is sitting on that exact same shelf in me Calax, right on top of them. Perfect little area control, gangstery type game where lots of different abilities, and, you know, you can take out your friends and whatever else, the backstabbing and whatnot. And it does the theme of the films quite good. The first two films are an absolute... you know, masterpieces. The third film doesn't exist, but that's beside the point. But yeah, it's a game that captures those films, I think, very well, or just captures the gangster type of thing very well. And it's a game that I talked to both of you.
It was so much fun, and I completely agree with you. It captures you. You really feel like you are either a godfather or a henchman doing whatever you need to do to knock off the opposition, take control of the stores around your particular area. I think it's great. It looks fantastic on the table.
Clearly, you taught it to my twin brother, or that brain cell is dead because I have no memory of that.
You don't at all?
I think you taught it to Santa,
no,
maybe.
No, I don't think it's me.
Oh, maybe you weren't there.
No.
It was a good night.
But I'm looking forward to one day playing it, although now it's obviously consigned to history because we've got new games.
Yes, exactly. We'll never play it ever again.
So me talking about games that are not consigned to history, even though... they might be 2 years old, because this is the one that snuck in. But it's such a good game, I wanted to have it in there. Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle.
Yeah, you've gone on to the better than us.
By USAopoly. Now, one of the designers, Forrest Prouzun Creative, they're just a design studio that does things for these companies that produce mass market games. But boy, did they get the formula right here. It is more fun... than it should be. My partner Sarah and I aren't even fans of Harry Potter. I still haven't watched any movies above, I think I've watched the third movie now. And the reason I watched the second and the third was having played this game. I've got the other movies lined up to watch, but I still haven't got around to it. But we enjoyed the game so much. The progression, the gradual increase in difficulty. Now, look, don't get me wrong, as a deck builder, it definitely... there's some things they could do so much better. It has no trash mechanic. And so you can get stuck with those cards from your very beginning hand that all of a sudden you might draw 5 of them and it's like, what a waste of a turn.
Oh, well, you're a muggle.
But even with that, everyone I've spoken to that has played this game has been so surprised at how much fun they've had.
Well, good friend of the show, Bo,
yes,
played... the whole 7 or maybe 6 of the 7.
Yeah, I think he played 6 of the 7
in the one weekend.
At BorderCon. That's
right. That's the biggest compliment you can give that he sat down. He's happy to play everything, and the people he played it with, a family that have been going to BorderCon for years, they will play any type of game as well. All of them decided, you know what? We like this so much. All these other games here, quite literally hundreds of games, we're going to play through this entire campaign of just this all together. What more of a compliment?
Now, there is an expansion. Now, I must admit, I haven't been tempted to get the expansion because I think it'll just be... more of the same, but in the base box, which you can get for quite cheap, you get 7 games that scale up nicely. And if you are, I think I've mentioned this so many times, if you are looking for a game to get your non-gaming friends into the hobby, This is an absolute pick.
Well, if you buy the expansion this year, you can put it on your list again next year.
And there are many, many potheads out there, so you can easily get it for them.
Garth.
What?
Potheads.
That's what they call
it. Let's move on.
Wow. My number five is a game that you have both mentioned briefly, and it's Stuffed Fables. My number five. The reason it's my number five is that I bought it for my children, and this game...
Because you've actually played it.
Yeah.
I have played hours and hours and hours and hours, and haven't finished the campaign, must be said. But I've played this game with my two kids. We sat down and tried to teach it to my loving partner, and once we taught, or at least tried to teach how the dice work, she went, I'm going to go and do the dishes or something. So she wasn't a big fan, but that's not unusual for her. So this game is arguably going to stick in my memory forever for being the first real gaming full of game for gamers that myself and my kids have played. Yeah. And I love that I'm going to have that memory because we're all going to be those stuffed creatures. We're all going to be the stuffies just looking after our, I think she's a girl, making sure she doesn't wet the bed or making sure that she doesn't get taken away into this evil realm. And it is so much fun. And just for kids, the gentle ramping up of mechanics that is in this game makes it so easy for my then 7-year-old, now 8-year-old, to be able to enjoy it. And I guarantee you, once my man cave is complete, this will be one of the first games that just sits on the table ready for a spare half an hour, because those sessions each take 15 minutes to half an hour, which is awesome. It's just going to be there, and we will motor through it.
And especially for kids, this game is based for younger people. That, as you said, you don't have to read a 20-page rule book to play this. You need to read the first 2 pages of the rule book, and it says there is some other stuff that's going to come up. We'll tell you when it comes up, and when it comes up, we will show it to you in the words on the page. Mm. We will also chuck a QR code on there. You can scan on your phone, and we'll show you a video on how that mechanic works perfectly. So it's just that is the way you absolutely should play any sort of campaign.
100%.
And I don't know, Garth, if we'll actually get back to playing Stuffed Fables in your man cave, because we may be playing Comanauts, the Stuffed Fables for adults.
Yeah, well, I don't want to play it.
Not that Stuffed Fables is not for adults. That's the thing. Don't get me wrong, but I'm really excited to see what they do with Comanauts, which is basically the same mechanic, but with a more adult theme.
Correct. And I do not want to play it with you guys. I want to play it with my kids. I want us to see this whole campaign through just the three of us.
Haven't you finished it?
No. That's the thing.
Oh, God.
I know.
Okay.
All right, number four. Mark, do you want to kick us off?
Number four, I think you mentioned it briefly, Garth. It might have snuck in the top of your list. Chronicles of Crime.
Oh, I did.
2018. David Kikurel and Lucky Duck Games. I love the interactivity. I love the virtual reality crime scenes. I love the events that pop up that keep you moving. It's really, as I think you might have already said it, Leon, it takes the Sherlock Holmes consulting detective mechanic and brings it into the 21st century where you can go somewhere and speak to someone, go away and find more evidence, come back and speak to that person again and get different answers based on, well, what have you got to say about this bloody knife with your fingerprint on it?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas with Sherlock Holmes, you can't go back and question the same person again. They've just introduced where you can use a second device to look at the virtual reality crime scene, although it doesn't mean you can play with two devices.
Is it just to look at the crime scene?
Only for the crime scene.
What a weird thing to do. They've done that, but not the actual okay.
Yeah. And look, something I found out when I was putting my list together is David Kikurel, he worked on Batman Return to Arkham and also Assassin's Creed Ezio Collection, which is where he's come before he's come to board games and Lucky Duck Games. This was a smash hit. My partner Sarah and I have played all the available scenarios because the expansion scenarios aren't in the app yet. They're coming in January. We've already played all the expansions. We played this a couple of times over the Christmas holidays and we love it. We love saying, okay, what would Lufa do? When we're stuck as to, well, should we go and question that suspect? Should we go back and talk to the forensic scientist? We say, what would Lufa do?
Is that because you both want you to be Idris Elba?
Perhaps. I want them both to be interested, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. But it brings those crime TV shows to life.
I think it just brings the Sherlock Holmes to the modern age.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Once you can pass that phone around to several different people.
Look, anyway. It's not a game for eight players.
No.
It is a game for
two. Sadly, not four, which is bloody well should be. Anyway, my number four is a game that is a new entry in the social deduction field.
Ooh.
Because it has all them superheroes that everyone then loves.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to write this down before you say it.
And that is
Hydra.
Or Hail Hydra, if you're a normal human.
Hydra.
So, yes. So, Hail Hydra, I pretty much just said it all then. It's a social deduction game where you play as different Marvel characters. You've got your Spider-Man, you've got your Spider-Gwen, you've got your Captain America, you've got your Iron Man, you've got all the men. Batman's not in it.
Oh.
He should be.
That's a different category of things. Don't worry, Garth, I'll teach you later.
I don't know.
But this is a game that I've really enjoyed. I really hope that it takes off a bit more than what it has. The availability of this game has been really weird. I've never seen it in a store down here. I had to buy it from Amazon from the States, which kind of sucks. I hope, because this game could be infinitely expandable, because they could just come up with more abilities and put in hundreds of different characters.
But Stan Lee's dead, so there's no more superheroes coming out anymore.
That was unnecessary to bring that up.
Surely no one can create superheroes now that
But there are other ones that aren't in the game.
Listening, Leon? Because don't think you were in the studio with my news when I talked about that Spin Master, who have designed that game, have just signed with DC to produce a whole bunch of DC games. So I would say
Batman.
It is very, very likely that they will have
Lex Luthor.
Heil Batman.
And Superman and Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
All right, let's get back on topic with a real game. My real game for number four is Teotihuacan.
You can't have it if you can't say it, Garth.
Teotihuacan, City of Gods.
I was wondering if it was going to make your list, having just played it again at LFGS Unplugged.
Yes, so I've only played it the one time, but I looked at my list and I agonized and I went through all of the games from 17 and 18 that I played, removed all the ones that we'd already talked about last year, looked at all the games and went,
it's
a good game. It requires multiple plays, which I'm looking forward to doing, so I'll have to make Mark buy this one because Leon, I don't know. Are you against Mexican cities?
Not that I know of. I like the pyramid in the middle of this game.
Well, there you go. You should maybe buy it too. So that is my number four game. I want to play it again. I think it plays really well at four, but I don't know whether I want to play it with less than that.
Ooh.
Although there is solo modes available, Mark, again, which is probably why you should buy it. It's got a beautiful little pyramid in the middle. And the dice manipulation, I think, is fantastic. Just the fact that your dice get to move up and up and up, and once they get to a six, they ascend.
I think dice builders and dice bag builders and dice manipulation, I think that's the kind of the in thing at the moment, and it's one of those things that it's on fad, and I want that fad to keep going, because I'm enjoying every time that any game puts them in there.
I agree. So anyway, we better throw to a song and then come back with our respective top threes. You with the Dice Men cometh on Edge Radio 99.
Hello everyone, sorry to interrupt, but it is your friendly neighbourhood Leon here. I just wanted to take a few seconds to remind our old listeners and to all our new that you can support The Dice Men Cometh on Patreon. You can jump over to thedicemencometh.com and there is a link sitting there on the front page. You can give as little or as much as you want every month and we are very, very appreciative. I myself do it for several different podcasts and a dollar or two comes out and I don't even notice. And I can tell you right now that if everyone listening to my voice right now only gave us a dollar every month, we would be very, very happy, lads. And every cent that you spend goes straight back into the show. We've been using it, as well as the advertising from our lovely sponsors, to go all around Australia to see you guys at every convention we can get our hands on, and hopefully we might even be doing it internationally soon, so watch this space. Also, you could jump over to redbubble.com and search for Dice Men, and you can get our logo onto all different kind of merchandise. We ourselves have them on t-shirts and hoodies and coffee cups and stuff, and they're really cool, and that's another way you can support us as well. The show has grown leaps and bounds in the last year or so, and it is thanks to the effort and support of you lovely people out there. You keep giving and keep giving us material, and we will keep doing the show. So, love to all of you, and now back to the action.
Here we are on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh. That was the last Shadow Puppets with Separate and Ever Deadly, and we are ever so steadily creeping down to number one. Garth, we are after your number three.
Yes. Well, I'm more silent than deadly.
So possibly we're going to now mention nine games, or possibly less, that should be the games that everyone should purchase.
Well, I'm going to figure that you and I will mention these two games, well, at least this game, Leon. So I'm going to just mention that the sun will come up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because it's Rising Sun is my number three game of the year.
Garth, it is not my number three.
So I'm not going to say any more than that because I'm going to assume it's higher up on someone else's
list.
Don't
you make assumptions about me, boy.
So
I mean, you're right, but there's no need to do that.
That's fine. So because of that, I'm going to make Mark go next.
Okay. So I will say Rising Sun is on my list of honourable mentions where if I had played them more than once, they may have featured higher up my list again.
See, I played them a couple of times. I played it a couple of times, and we'll talk about it just in case we happen to be able to talk about it again.
Sure. So my number three, I'm pretty positive that you two gentlemen have not played this game, though you have both played, I'm pretty sure you have, the game that it comes from. That is First Martians Ignacy Trezacek. And Portal Games. Now, I picked up a second-hand copy of this, let's say very cheaply, and was just about ready to throw it in the rubbish bin after the first or even the second time.
I think you and almost everyone else who played it has that reaction.
It is so clunky, but it is a measure of what a great storytelling game it is that Sarah and I have persevered. We played through five of the six standalone scenarios. Didn't play the six because it was a bit similar to one of the other fives. And then over the Christmas holidays, we played all five of the first campaign. We've got the second campaign, which has legacy elements to go. We are absolutely loving this. It continues to grow on us. It tells an amazing story. You feel like you're managing a Mars base. It is definitely worth sticking with, but I urge you, because I didn't, get on the Portal Games website and read through the almanac, which is like three times as thick as the game manual and where they've actually explained it.
Okay. Wow.
Well, no
sounds
one's
like
gonna
a lot of work for a top three game.
Yeah, no one's going to do that, Mark, so well done.
All right, Leon, top three.
Top three. Now, I like to read stuff.
You do.
And I like gnomes.
You do.
So my game that's number three, which was my game of Vorticon, is Ex Libris.
Yep.
Now, surely you guys had this for me.
Absolutely.
Game that I've enjoyed immensely. I played it a few times over that Vorticon weekend. I don't know if I lost at any point. Oh, it's hard to say.
It's a long time ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, you lost to me.
No, I don't reckon so.
I won.
You did. Because Mark had a 45-minute last turn.
Oh, that's right. No, I was teaching that game. I wasn't playing that game.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, keep going. We've only got a few minutes left.
Anyway, it's a game that's really, really good, and people should buy it. And it's only like 50, 60 bucks, and I hope they do more expansions for it because the characters and stuff are really good.
It was another one of my honourable mentions, but I'd only played it once.
Yes. Lovely. Garthy boy.
Me. Oh, number two. So it's not very often that I agree with someone else on what is a really good game. And when I decided that I would put the Quacks of Quedlingbird or Quacks von Quedlingberg as my number two game of the year, all the judges at the Kennerspiel went, "Oh, well, if Garth did it, we must
go
be right.
One better."
So I had such a good time with this particular little bag buildy push your luck game. It was arguably, apart from the fact that Mark was one of the people at the table, one of my best 45 minutes of gaming this year.
Uh-huh.
It was so much fun. We played it at Borderlands. And you're just playing rival doctors trying to show off your wares, which are a whole bunch of different weird alchemical kind of ingredients. You put your hand in the bag and you pull it out and you put it into your cauldron and you just see what happens. Oh, my God. I want to buy this game.
Yeah.
And I haven't. Because
I think it's only just got an English release, in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know, but it's on that radar. Well, it's above Flom Rouge.
It's the last of my super honourable mentions where if I'd played them more than once, they might have got higher.
I had such a good time.
I had
this game.
A lot of fun.
Marky boy number two.
So me, again, a game that you guys haven't played, but we do have the recharge pack, and that is Charterstone by Jamie Stegmaier and Stonemaier Games. Now, I've got to be clear. The legacy part of this game, the 10 or 12 games, is what I'm talking about. My partner and I and my son, my 17-year-old son who doesn't play many games with us, we played all through this together. We were playing two games at a time pretty much the whole way through. And it was like, when can we play it again? When can we play it again? We loved it so much. Look, it's probably a little bit simple for heavy gamers with its worker placement. But I loved the legacy components. I loved the story. It's a beautiful-looking game.
So you're talking about the 10 games, not the first game.
Yeah, I mean, we've played it once or twice since, and because you then play a random colour or faction, you don't play the one that you took all the way through the legacy stage and got very attached to, which for me takes away from it. But in terms of the legacy, it's way, way well worth it.
But it's a legacy game that's got a game at the end of it you can still play.
Yeah, exactly.
Which by itself alone deserves some praise.
And I think by our admission, it's also a legacy game that someone's actually completed.
Yes.
Leon, number two.
My number two is a little game about suns rising.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yes. So Rising Sun is my number two. So the spiritual successor to Blood Rage and C1 by the man himself. Whose name is just lost out of my mind. Eric Lang. I don't know why I forgot that. Anyway, it's a great game. It's me in a nutshell, absolutely.
No, this is me in a nutshell.
Shut up, we don't have time for that. So big board, lots of warring factions, the different kind of play with the different actions you can do, lots of different abilities, replayability again, through the roof for this one. It's a game will never ever leave my collection, and I'm happy that it's there sitting on top of Blood Rage on my shelf.
And as an Australian, how many games have demos?
Yes, it's all about
more games
demos.
Than
I have been amazed we haven't got this back to the table more because, you know, given that I won,
it's a big one though. I
played a couple of games of this. I love it. I love the tile choosing to see what actions happen. It has so much going on. But we should go to number ones. Mark, do you want to kick this number one party off?
Look, you guys can probably guess this.
Yes,
the daddy of all two, the daddy and mummy of two player games,
or the daddy and the daddy, or the mummy and the mummy.
Correct.
Or the non-binary and the non-binary.
That's and right. The tentacle monster, because it's consentical. Yeah,
it's Fog of Love.
Excellent choice.
By Jakob Yaskov and Hush Hush Projects. I haven't got the expansions yet, and I'm super excited about them. It just brings role-playing with board game, with getting to know your partner together with getting to play out a character.
That's not you.
Just having so much fun. One of the best, if not the best, board game tutorials ever.
Agreed, yes.
Beautiful production values. I just can't say any more. Fog of Love, I absolutely loved it.
I agree with all of those things that you say, and I'm sure it would be higher up on my list. It was on my honorable mentions, but again, I'd only played the tutorial with Joe, my better half. We need to go back, but it's currently sitting at Trent's house because he wants to play it with his better half.
Yeah.
So it might get back to yours by the time the expansions come out. Yes. Leon, you or me?
I'll go.
All right.
Did you think this would be my number one?
Absolutely, 100%.
Really?
This was going to be your number one without a shadow of a doubt.
What is it then?
Werewords.
Yes, it's Werewords.
100% Werewords.
Werewords is my new favourite party game, but it's not even a party game. You can play this with four people quite easily and play it all night, like you could with, say, a coup, or you can play it with 10 people and do it. It is an absolute belter. I can't recommend it highly enough. You've heard me talk about it every bloody show, and there's a reason for that. This game is like, I think you can get the game that's not the deluxe version for $20.
Yeah.
Trust me, buy it. 20 questions, has been around forever. It's now got a game wrapped around it. And again, I've said this literally a dozen times today, infinite replayability.
Yes.
You can play this game till the cows come home.
And it is a great game, although I would still put Time's Up ahead of it. But that's just
In the pantheon of those things, sure.
That's just me.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm going to go back to the future, and I am going to make mention of Mark's number something or other. No, Leon's number 10 game, Raja of the Ganges. That was my
number one
game for this year. I think this game is brilliant.
Yeah.
I love the two competing tracks, the Fame and the Fortune track. I love the variability in the river. I love the different uses for meeples and different uses of dice. I think the game looks phenomenal at the table.
Yeah, it's basically a race game. You should try Flamme Rouge.
I had so much fun playing this game a couple of times. Leon, have you still got it?
I do.
Okay, we should play it.
Yes.
That's my number one of the year. It is the best gaming experience I've had all year.
That is between 10 and 30 absolute belting games there.
Absolutely. Look, we're out of time. We've got to go. We've got to rush right out because we're going to run out of time. We will talk to you next week about all the other new things of 2018. But until then, bye.
See ya.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.